This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
We are back at Wisecracks, back in studio.
From Arizona.
George and I were on location last week.
Your fantastic Texas Rangers.
And I screwed up. Yes. I literally just got yesterday. It took forever to get. I have a Texas Rangers shirt with a big T that I was supposed to wear today, and I screwed it up. I forgot.
You have to wear it next season.
So let's
How about your futures?
Let's open with the futures.
We'll open with John's futures. We're not going to name the casino, but Aria was very nice to him. He lost his tickets.
Yep.
He just told me the story, walked into Aria, gave his card number, and they found his tickets instantly and paid him.
100%. Two tickets.
Usually it's 30 days.
Each. They were made 7 days apart, exactly 7 days apart. Because they play every weekend, basically.
And they paid him the $12,000. That's unbelievable that they would.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. A lot of people don't like to use their cards because they feel people are trying to get their information or something. No.
Believe me, use the card.
This is the reason why.
Had I used the card with all the bets, I'd probably have been paid by now.
Yeah, because he has some other ones right now that he's going through, and he's trying to get paid at some other casinos.
Yeah. I'll get it, though. Thanks to you, you introduced me to some people.
The guys that run the books. And
they were great. I spent 30 minutes on the phone with one of them. Yeah. I won't say where yet. Yeah. But
give them all credit once you're paid.
100%, but he was really, really great. Yeah. You could tell him it's going to happen.
What did you guys think about Arizona? You guys went just for the one game, right?
Yeah, we went
for the
one game.
Did you go to the championship game? Did you watch the winning game here?
Yeah, I watched it at home. Yeah, it was just
nice. You went in the owner of the Rangers, one of the owners gave you seats.
Yeah, gave me seats. Good. Neil Liebman. Yeah,
fun experience.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, it was George's first World Series.
First World Series. Right? First big, and I'm a huge sports guy. First ever championship
anything
environment. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was huge.
Will you go to the Super Bowl?
Dude, no. There's no.
Too much. Too crazy.
Yeah.
I don't want to go.
Not only is it too much money, but it's just like the Super Bowl is such a when I watch it on TV, I'm like, this is a 5-hour production, and it just seems like. It would be a boring game to be at live. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a fan of the commercials, too.
Yeah, the commercials are nice. So, you know, like Derek said, I said, Derek, you're going to the game. It's like a once in a while. You're in Vegas. He goes, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm going to be where the money is.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So,
Formula One's coming up. Do you have any interest in that?
I have none. I'm leaving. I'm going back to Staten Island. I'm going to my buddy Teddy Atlas's charity event.
Oh.
Dr. Atlas Foundation. I'm going to his charity event in Staten Island. I'm happy I'm leaving, too, I won't be back till Monday, literally. After this is up, I mean, listen, after it's over, I know it's been beaten down by all different media sources and different people on Twitter and TikTok and everything. It's a disaster out there. I mean, how about they put this film over top of the crosswalks that cross the strip?
Yeah.
And tourists took like pens and
they took it down. And then they came back and made it even
better.
It's
going to be cat and mouse till the end.
Yeah.
They'll be bringing razor blades out there, taking it down. But I don't know. I'm trying to find out one person actually wants to see it.
Yeah,
like,
man.
Wants to sit there for the whole race.
And 10 years of this madness, like what it creates. I mean, I don't know. How do you judge whether it was worth bringing it here or not? I guess revenue.
It's worth it for whoever's pockets
havoc.
Were lined.
The traffic is crazy down there.
Traffic is crazy. It's just it's so bad. The strip is the yellow cones are everywhere.
Everywhere,
all over town. It's a total
mess. You guys hear about the culinary union?
Yes, big strike, right?
Hey, if they've been protesting. If they go on strike
they've been protesting.
If they go on strike this week and it shuts these casinos down, I think that's the final big F you to.
Yeah.
F1.
They really might have the upper hand then. I want to talk about, I had to go to San Diego overnight. So for one night. So I go to the airport, 5 a.m, my flight's 7:00, and my flight gets canceled after being there for 3.5 hours till 8:30 because of fog. They canceled all the San Diego flights.
Yep.
So it got canceled because of fog. There's that I guess they call it the marine layer there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just so bad. It didn't burn off in time. And I just said, you know what? I'm going to drive. I went downstairs to try to get my bag. It's on the flight. They have to try to get it's on the tarmac. They have to try to get. I said, listen, it's going to be sent on the next flight at like noon. I said, just send it there then. Because I was waiting and waiting. Just send it. I'll go to the airport and get it. So I drive. Get in my car and drive. It was 4.5 hours. It wasn't that bad. 4.5 hours I drive. And I actually went to the airport later on that night. Got the bag. And I said, you know what? Let me go do a blackjack run. Now, a blackjack run to me, I can't do in Vegas. It's just, you know, I can't do it. So, not that I can't do it. I just don't feel like getting backed off. And plus, you know, I like some of the casinos here. I'm not going to, you know, go in there and get myself banned. Or the reason why I don't play blackjack at the casinos, why, for a 1% edge, why get yourself banned from the casino, you know, or get yourself comments, called comments in the screen? Why get comments in the screen? For other promotions I may be missing out on. It's not really worth it. So I love it there, though. They have the best games there. There's really? So many casinos there. Barona, Viejas, Pechanga,
yeah.
Valley View, Harrah's, Pala. If I mentioned that, I don't know. But so I go to like four casinos, did a blackjack run. And I went to four casinos. I played five different sessions. The trick is, if you're counting cards, to get in and out under 40 minutes, 45 minutes, win or lose.
So they're not hip to it?
Yeah, you just don't want to, you know what I mean? You don't want to spread $25 and next thing you're betting 500 multiple times. Though I did get away with some spreading. I spread 20. Now what that means is my lowest bet compared to my biggest bet when the deck is juicing tens and aces. I spread a lot. I couldn't believe it. One hand at 25 to two hands at 350 each to 700.
You literally go from 25 to 350?
That's a giant spend. It's a giant spread. It's like almost 30-1 spread on two hands, you know. But yeah, so
and you literally go from 25 to 350.
25 to 350. No, 25, 100.
Oh, okay.
Positive,
so you do take a
positive
little
positive four, positive gotcha. Six.
Okay.
True count, whatever it may be. Maybe I keep a side count of aces. It's much simpler than it's. By the way, card counting is much simpler than you think. It. You know, you can learn 90% of what I know in a 4-hour seminar on the computer for free. Just doing a search. But the side count's good. I use a little more of a, I don't just use a high-low. I use a half count, a little more technical with the twos and the nines. And I do keep a side count of aces. It's simple, though. I'm telling you, it's not as hard as you think. So, win or lose doesn't matter if I won or lost. The ridiculous action I had there on those, I think it was five, I think I played five sessions, was stupid. But I did win, but I'm not going to say how much. But I did win. I ran terribly unlucky, too. Terribly unlucky, because on the smaller counts plus threes and fours where you're betting, you know, $100 instead of 25, I ran terribly lucky. But on the bigger counts where I was up, you know, bigger, when I was betting 400, 300, 400, I ran really good. So I won a couple $1,000.
I don't think people realize that counting doesn't mean you're guaranteed to win.
No.
It's not even
it's
close.
It's a 1% edge.
Right.
The 1%. It's a 1% edge. You can lose. I've lost counting. I got thrown out of the M over here. The M, when I lost 7,000, because I was betting a lot. I got thrown out. The M backed me off.
Wow.
I say thrown out. They just back you off. You want to play something else? You can play something else. So,
right. Keno.
Yeah, you can play Keno. But something I noticed at one of the casinos.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna read it to you. George is going to show it to you.
Okay.
This is unbelievable. So the jackpot policy at one of the casinos, Pala, a friendly reminder about playing slots using someone else's player club card. Any jackpot won by a guest using another person's card, in dark highlighted letters here, will not be paid.
Wow.
This includes the cards of spouses, relatives, and close friends.
You got to be kidding me.
Listen.
You've got to be kidding me.
You and Vanessa are in a casino.
Yeah.
And your card's in because you got a bonus. You're going to play into your card.
Right.
And Vanessa says, oh, John, let me play. Yeah, go ahead. You're sitting next to her. And she's not going to get paid. Because
even just
the
as the gentleman thing, here, you sit, I'll stand.
She hit the button.
You're come on.
Not getting paid because your card's in the machine.
How can they
How
do
can
that?
How can it be legal?
It's crazy.
How can they enforce this? You want to know why? Indian casino, tribal council, gaming law. I mean, I guess.
It has to be that. There's no way MGM could get away with that, right?
I am furious about this. That's ridiculous. Now, I know what they're trying to avoid. They're trying to avoid someone to come in the casino with 10 cards of all your relatives and stuff that get bonuses every week and pick up their free play. I understand. Listen, that happens. I have done it. It's a big deal. I'm going to pick up my wife's free play. Or, you know, so I'm playing under her card. I hit a jackpot. I just give them my idea. I've done it already. I did it a month ago. I give them my ID. I'm the one physically playing. I'm the one that has to pay the tax on it or get a tax form. You know, it's ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
I've never seen nothing like this in my life. How did they get away with it?
And so that's they're just trying to beat people that are trying to beat the comp system. That's
listen,
what that is?
Listen, it's real simple. People are playing someone else's card, getting their free play, probably going to split it with that person with the name on the card.
Because you could have 10 cards printed.
Yeah, yeah, but you. But I'll tell you what, they frown against it. I know someone, Harris in Chester, Pennsylvania, that was arrested with 20 cards.
Really?
Of other people. I mean, he knew them all. It was he didn't steal them, but he was getting their free play and playing under that promotion. It's an advantage thing.
Right.
But I don't think of it being illegal, but I never do it with 20. Listen, I do it with one card.
Yeah.
One extra card, my wife or someone's card. I don't do it with 10
Let me ask you this. Probably shouldn't say this on the show, but I will.
Say it.
Free parking.
Yeah.
And as it relates to the card, when you get to a certain level of with the card.
Mm-hmm.
Okay to give to your spouse? She has a card. You have a card?
I gave my 7-star card to 2 different people at dinner at Peter Luger's last week.
Okay, that was my next question.
Because
sometimes I might give cards to a couple people, a couple friends. Here you go.
Yeah, take the cards. Why pay $20?
Right.
You know? That's why I like the Wynn has probably the best, because everyone's charging for parking now. The Wynn probably has the best parking policy in town. At the Wynn, it's you get 4 hours free, everybody. Because a lot of the casinos will give locals free for 4 hours.
Yep.
That's everybody. So I noticed the difference at the Wynn parking lot. It's so slow than it used to be. People used to go there and park for the whole day and walk up and around, do their
right.
But so that's what they're trying to avoid. Yeah. They're trying to avoid
4 hours for free is great because you can go,
you can
eat, see a show, gamble, and go home on under 4 hours.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But yes, do I admit it? Yes, I have given a card out.
So that's okay to do.
I have done that. Yeah. Let me talk about you real quick.
Yes.
So the other day I seen something on TV. I seen a video of your dad, Bruce Springsteen, Stevie Van Zandt, and Patti Scalfa, the wife of Bruce Springsteen. She was in the New Jersey Hall of Fame. And I was pissed. I was like, how can John not tell me this? I was mad.
You were?
I was mad. I was like, how can John not tell me this is a big thing? It's so great. I mean, I love your dad. I love him. I've been with him so many times. And he's such a personable, warm person. He's a great person.
Yeah.
But I was like, John, look at this video. And then John sends me back a picture of him and Springsteen. I was like, this mother... I was like, look at this guy.
Okay, let me explain. Let me explain. First of all, you're right. I should have told you.
Jersey.
Here's why I didn't, though. Let me explain.
Danny DeVito.
Let me explain.
David Chase.
You're going to think I'm crazy, though. It sneaks up on me. So think, this is something that... So Al Sapienza, who is my...
I know who he is.
You do?
Sure. He was on Sopranos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you realize?
He played Mikey Palmese.
So that was like he was never married to my mom.
Right.
But after my parents got divorced, he dated my mom for like 10 or 12 years. So he was like a stepdad, basically.
You're kidding me.
Yes. So
he's been in a lot of things, by the
way. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like over 100 movies. Oh, but he's most known as Mikey from Sopranos. Yeah. Two seasons, right?
They chased him. Paul, they got the poison
ivy. Yeah, he gets thrown off a building, right?
Yeah. No, they chased him in the middle of the swamp.
Oh, right.
It's good to know you follow his roles.
There we go. Sorry. Okay. He goes to a place with my dad a month before that. He's at an autograph signing or something. Oh no, something for Cousin Brucey.
Okay.
You remember Cousin Brucey?
Of course.
Okay. So Al sends me a voice message and he says, "Johnny, I'm gonna be with your dad this weekend. Can you do me a favor? Can you find out if he hates me?"
Wow. Now why would he hate you?
Well, because he dated my mom after my dad, but they got divorced.
He wasn't cheating on your dad.
No.
Why would he hate him?
But he was friends with my dad before that.
Right.
Because they met through Murray the K.
Oh,
and
wow.
Bro code, whatever.
Yeah. And what'd he say?
And so I said, I just texted him back. I said, "No, my dad doesn't hate you. Don't worry, but I'll ask him." I forget to ask my dad.
This is
2 months ago. 2 months ago,
and he shows up, and your dad punches him in the face.
No, they see each other. He goes up to my dad, thinking that I've talked to my dad, because I also said, "No, my dad doesn't hate you. Don't worry." Right.
Right.
So he goes up to my dad, and my dad couldn't have been nicer to him. Gives him a hug. Hey, Al, good to see you. Blah 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 blah. So Al calls me and says, "I'm gonna fly you and Vanessa to Jersey when your dad goes in the Hall of Fame." On my free mileage.
Wow.
To surprise him.
Oh, how cool.
Okay.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, cool. This was like a couple months ago.
Right.
I completely forget about it.
Sure.
I'm just, every day, you know how it is. You get caught up in the work stuff and whatever. And then Al's like, "I'll see you this weekend." I'm like, oh, shit. I've completely forgot. You know, so, okay. So it just, it was one of those things, like it just kind of stuck up on me. It wasn't at top of mind. But the funny part is he ends up telling my dad.
Oh, he did.
But so it wasn't even a surprise.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Wow. But it was fun. But yeah.
He's been on a lot of things. He's been on a lot of things I like, by the way.
Yeah.
So I didn't even know you knew him.
Yeah.
He was like almost.
He was on Suits. He was on a show with Kevin Spacey. He's been on a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff.
I seen him on a.
That's crazy. You know who that is?
I knew
is.
Who he was. Other time, I'm a giant Sopranos fan. I told you, I knew the way he got killed.
Yeah.
Chris, no, I didn't mean it. And they both kill him. Paul gets poison ivy. Let's talk about our sponsor for a minute here.
Yes.
I'll tell you again. Listen. I am so mad. So mad. I can't, like, I had places in town I could lay $1.20 on a 6-point teaser. 6 points minus at 120 to 100, and I can't do it anymore, and I'm pissed. And so mybookie.com, mybookie.ag.
Yeah.
Mybookie.ag is like the last place that I know that has 6-point teasers for $1.20.
By the way, had I made this future bet at mybookie.ag, I wouldn't be sweating a thing right now. I'd have been paid already.
No, and you know, it's funny. We compared some of the odds there recently, some of the future odds, because I'm not a future book guy.
Right.
I don't bet teams like that because it's such a juiced market. I was shocked to see, like, they had the 18-1 on the Bengals. I think it was a couple shows ago. I was like, that's unbelievable to win a Super Bowl. That's the highest odds I found in town.
Yeah, it was 15-1 here.
Yeah, it was like, you know.
What is it right now?
It's probably like
8-1 right now.
Well, wow, it's gone down to 8.
Well, they played, of course, they had two big games.
Yeah.
I mean, they just beat Buffalo, and 2 weeks ago they had a giant game. I mean, these were big games for them, too.
And by the way, George, I'm going to give props right now to your girl, Cam.
Yeah?
Cameron, because I'm on the Bengals. Because you said, in Arizona, you said Cameron thinks Bengals win the Super Bowl. Didn't you tell me that?
Nick. I said Nick.
Oh, it was Nick. That's Nick Dias that said it. My bad.
No. All you're right. Good. You're good.
I'm still giving your girl props.
No, she's been
just knowing football
betting,
like a psycho. Yeah.
Dude, she has been sports betting pretty sharp lately. She's, she's at that point in time in sports betting, Bill, where she's like trying to find like unique lines and trying to like she's a sucker for like a 5-1 on each team to score 2 touchdowns each half.
Right.
So like in her head, she's like, you know, big scoring games if the over hits, but like she's hunting for lines and telling me stuff. And I'm like, it's crazy.
That's
high-level
stuff.
You brought it up earlier a couple of episodes ago that women in sports betting is growing. It's just because it's a lot easier to understand on the phone. I feel like they made a huge jump from when you go to a sports book, how intimidating it is to just clicking a button.
Yeah.
I had a sports book.
That's interesting.
If you remember, I had a sports book recently tell me, I couldn't believe it, that 19% of the profiles were female. I said, wait a minute. Hold on a minute. All the apps, you tell me 19% are females? There's a percentage of them that are bearding in their wives or girlfriends or something.
Sure.
But
even if
it's
half.
I don't care if it's 10%.
Right.
I don't care if it's 10%. You're kidding me. Females are betting sports at an all-time rate. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
Hard to believe.
Yeah. Hey, all right. Then shout out to Nick Dias at the Veterans Minimum Podcast because I'm absolutely on that bet because of you, Nick. That's why I'm on the Bengals now. Wow. I'm on the Bengals.
So going back to
Go ahead. Sorry.
MyBookie.ag is our great sponsor. And they had that great 6-point teaser. They have great odds on a lot of different things. And let me tell you, how about their bonus? They have a 10% bonus right now, which is a one-time rollover. It means whatever you send in, you have to roll it over one time, and you can ask for a withdrawal. Better yet, I'm going to give you something else. If you add the code CRACK, K-R-A-C-K, they're going to give you an additional 10% up to $200. So if you send in, you know, $1,000, you're going to get $100 from them. You send in $2,000 or, you know, up to – actually, if you send in like $4,000, I think is the ultimate. You get both bonuses. You get $400. So I wanted to mention that and listen, I'll just tell you now, I can't stress this further. I don't like laying more than 11 to 10. A lot of the different industry books come into this country and there's more than 11 to 10. Of course, my bookie is old school. They have 11 to 10, but it sounds like it's no big deal. But if you're laying $1.15 on both sides or on something, which I've seen now, I've seen Atlantic City, a walk-up book charging like $1.14 on each side. I couldn't believe it. That's just ridiculous. They're already going to win. Let's get into a little bit of football, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
This next week, the parity this year is unbelievable. I can't pick a standout team. San Fran was it. So San Fran was the team a month ago.
They remember, were like, 5-0, right? They were 5-0.
They're going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Everyone, and they were like such a big favorite to go to the Super Bowl. I was like, are you kidding? Even then, though, I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe what a big favorite they are to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So let me just tell you now, I want to just tell you that it's amazing, though. I look at these rankings. So every week, what a pro is supposed to do is rank the teams and you know, in order of the power strength ratings.
Yep.
So I cannot believe San Fran went down to number 10. 10. They're saying all these teams are better than them.
Wow.
Baltimore number 1, Philadelphia number 2. This is someone I really respect, by the way. Baltimore number 1, Philadelphia number 2, Kansas City number 3. And I'll just read the rest. Jacksonville, yeah. Miami, Detroit, Dallas, Seattle. How can you put San Fran below Seattle?
How can you put San Fran below Dallas?
San Fran below Dallas after what they just did. This is...
And is that Bengals?
Bengals. Bengals are ninth.
They have Dallas ahead of Bengals.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
What?
And his name is John Orlando. No.
I mean, even me, I'm a realist. George, that's crazy, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's very hopeful for the... When he said the Seahawks, they're my fraud team of the year.
Fraud team.
Frauds, dude. Just pick against them all year. They're playing the Commanders this week. Can't wait to take the Commanders. Wow. I cannot wait.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah, they're frauds, John.
Your thoughts?
Well, Commanders are terrible. I don't know. But I mean, I should say terrible.
Money line?
But on a tease?
What's the mybookie.ag
they're
money
six
line?
And a half, though. You could probably get 6.5 on mybookie, too. Washington, Seattle, down the bottom. It's game 262. Down the bottom.
Did you know that it's game 262?
No.
He knows the game.
what's there?
6.5.
6.5. See, 6.5.
Good number to tease.
You're going to catch some extra... You're going to catch some extra half points with my bookie. They have a lot of a base of customers that's probably going to help you if you're betting underdogs. No, I don't tease. I don't tease up through 10. I tease only through the key numbers of 3 and 7. But I'll tell you what you could do. You could probably buy them to 7 there, which is very important. It's a key number. It's not as key as it used to be with the 2-point conversion now coming into play analytics. Also, the extra point 10 yards further back after the last 7 whatever years it was. So it's not doesn't come into play as much now. The 3 does. More than the 7. But these numbers aren't as key as they used to be because of the analytics and different things. But anyway, I was looking at some different odds this morning on some team futures. I just can't recommend any that are under 10-1. The parity in the league this year. Buffalo's not the same team they used to be. Kansas City just lost to Denver a couple. I just can't pick. Yeah. You know, I know that they went in and beat Miami, and Miami, which we thought was a great team, Miami now all of a sudden Baltimore looks good. Well, Baltimore knocked me out of a suicide pool a month ago when they were a 7.5-point favorite. I think they played Houston or something. I mean, it's like they lost the game. So,
George, what is Burrow to win MVP?
I will find that for you right now. Yeah, but I'm pretty sure it's 20.
That's a good question.
20-1.
That's a good question. What else do we got? I think we're almost done.
Easier for him to win MVP than Super Bowl.
7-1
right
now.
They don't necessarily have to win the Super Bowl for him to win MVP, do they?
7-1 on my bookie currently.
Okay. Oh, 7-1.
Yeah. The Ravens, by the way, because I want to put it out there because they bothered me that week. Let's see. The Colts beat the Ravens that week. That's right. Houston beat Jacksonville. The Colts beat the Ravens. God. But then they've reeled off some really good games. They have they beat the Browns. The Steelers beat them in the game they shouldn't have won in Pittsburgh. The Steelers won. I'm gonna give that one a pass. Since then, the Ravens won 38-6 over the Lions, who everyone thought was like number 2 or 3 team.
Wow, yeah, I remember that.
But the Ravens just got by the Cardinals by 7 when they were 9.5-point favorites. The Cardinals was back and forth, but then they beat Seattle 37-3. So Ravens are playing good. I just don't think Lamar Jackson is a Super Bowl quarterback to get them to the Super Bowl. We'll see, though. I think Kansas City's still great. I love Mahomes. That quarterback documentary I always loved, so I thought it was great.
Yeah.
So we got a great guest coming up, Ross Tucker. He's a veteran from the NFL. He's played on a lot of different teams, does a lot of media, Eagles guy. Looking forward to having him on. Ross, thanks for coming on. We're gonna talk about this now. Meet John Orlando also.
Hey.
John, what's up, man? Crack, always good to see you.
Good to see you,
thanks
too.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, thanks for coming on. Listen, you're born and raised, we weren't born in Pennsylvania, correct? But you were raised as a kid, went to high school.
Yeah, so I'm from an hour west of Philly.
Yep.
It's called Wyomissing, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And the funny tidbit there is that from 2001 to 2008, I was probably the most well-known person ever from Wyomissing. And then a young lady's kind of passed me out now. Her name's Taylor Swift.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, wow.
What's funny about that is in 2015, maybe, I went to a concert, and I know her dad pretty well. And I was talking to her mom, and I said that line, like, I was the most well-known person till Taylor came along. And her mom looked at me and, like, dead serious, was like, well, you know, Ross, just keep working. I was like, ah, it's over.
Stay positive.
I'm ready to take an L on that one. I'm pretty sure she's the most famous person in the world. So,
yeah.
But it's kind of wild to think that the most famous, like, our graduating class was like 130. You know what I mean? Now,
yeah.
You know, she's a lot younger than me, but it's just wild to see someone be that famous.
That's unbelievable. Like, I didn't know she was from there.
I know, like, I know where she grew up and went to elementary school. Like, I knew her house. Like, it's just wild.
And then you were the most famous person from there connected to the NFL until Taylor Swift.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Well, so
she got you twice.
Today's Ross Tucker football podcast, you know, Alex Anzalone, the linebacker for the Lions with the long hair.
Yep.
He's been killing it this year. It's his seventh year. That's how many years I played. So by the end of this year, I'm not even going to have the claim to fame that I'm the best NFL guy from my hometown.
Wow.
Alex, and I helped him. I helped him with recruiting. I helped him with the NFL. So this is what happens when you help people. They leap over you and make
sure.
You make you under the radar.
Did you grow up?
Honestly, I'm thrilled for both of them.
Nice.
You know, it's probably like anybody else.
Right.
From a small town, like, you take a lot of pride in where you're from. Chad Henney's from there.
Oh, yeah.
Take a lot of pride in especially, I feel like, small town Pennsylvania, for sure.
Well, you have something in common with me. You went to Princeton, correct?
That's correct.
I used to bet with a bookmaker from Princeton. That's about how in common. I drove past Princeton once on my way to the racetrack, but no, I'm a Jersey Shore guy. But I used to know a couple guys from Princeton.
Where Jersey Shore? Where, crack?
Monmouth County, Kingsburg, real poor blue collar town.
There's a racetrack out there
on the Parkway, 10 miles from Monmouth Park. Next town over was Middletown, Hazlitt, Keyport, Red Bank. That's where I grew up.
I know where you're at. So, you know, I'm a Southeast PA guy.
Yep.
So I grew up going Ocean City a little bit, Wildwood a little bit, but primarily Avalon, Stone Harbor. And
love that area.
Ironically, my wife, who's from the coal region, her family would go for a week every year to Stone Harbor. So it's kind of cool that we both separately would vacation there. And, you know, unlike our parents, you know, we were able to get a house. Like, we got a house a couple of years ago. So it's like, kind of like the American dream, right? Like, your parents go there on vacation and take you when you're kids. And then when you get old enough, you buy a place there.
Ross, you just hit a wheelhouse for me. I tell you, my parents were very blue collar, very hard work. And my mother drove a school bus. My father worked two jobs. And they worked hard to give my brother and I a better life. And now I have to pinch myself once in a while to say where I've come in life and the, you know, the couple of properties I own, things I've done in my life. And even I got to take my parents to Grace, and my father was a big Elvis fan. Just that was a big deal to me. So to hear that, you have to, by you saying that, that must mean you have a sense of old school values and respect that, how hard your parents worked and even your grandparents or whatever from that. You know, obviously, it's a blue collar, hardworking town. Am I correct where you were?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, a few years ago, Reading, I guess, beat out Flint, Michigan for the poorest city in the country. I don't know if that's beating or losing out. I'm not sure how that works. But look, I had a great upbringing. I love Wyomissing. It was probably, you know, upper middle class town. My dad had a decent job. He actually was vice president of sales for R.M. Palmer. They're like the number one chocolate Easter bunny company.
Oh, wow.
So
I
if you buy
them.
Like chocolate Easter bunnies,
of course. That Palmer.
My dad was like the head of sales for them. So he had a pretty good job.
Yeah.
But no, when my mom, you know, the first time she came into our house down at the beach or even here where we live in Pennsylvania, there's for sure a big sense of pride. And look, I owe a lot to them, right? I mean,
sure.
They, nobody from my family ever went to the Ivy League or anything like that, you know?
Sure.
So it was really cool. I'll never forget the first day when you're in high school that they can come to your house. It's December 1st. And the same day, both Harvard and Princeton came to my house, the coaches.
Oh, wow.
And my grandma was there. And I don't know how old she was at the time, maybe like 90 or something. But like, you know, that was like the greatest day of her life.
Sure.
And now that I have kids and I can imagine what it's like to have grandkids, like you always, I think, hope that as a parent, you're doing the things that give the next generation opportunities that you didn't have. So my grandma, fellas, she just sat there like beaming as Harvard and Princeton were telling me how bad they wanted me to go there, obviously for football, but, you know, I would get a chance to go to school there. And she was like, you know, because you want to feel like your blood, your kin.
Oh, my God.
You know, that you're feeling. Getting better as the generations go.
That's great.
Know? Oh, man. You know, and to think how you went on to your NFL career, started with Washington, played for a bunch of teams, Dallas, Buffalo, New England, Cleveland, and then retired for Washington, never playing for your – I guess you were an Eagles fan, right? So you played against them but never for them.
Yeah, so two things that are funny about that, right? Like, number one, I was a real late bloomer in every aspect, right? So my scholarships were like William & Mary, Delaware. So sure. I thought – I remember specifically saying, guys – I'm not going to make the NFL. So if I can go to Princeton or Harvard because of football and, like, you know, go get some Wall Street job and be rich, like, I got to do it, right?
Sure.
So that's why I went to Princeton. And then my freshman year, I started a couple games at the D end, and Matt Burke was a left tackle for Harvard, and he got drafted. And I remember thinking, like, well, if that guy can get drafted, maybe I can, like, get into a training camp or something. And you'll appreciate this. I was a big D end. I was, like, 260. Maybe 255 by the end of the season. I went home for Christmas break, okay?
Yep.
And again, Reading, Pennsylvania here, you guys can probably relate. When I tell you guys we got a keg of Yingling every night during Christmas break, and then we would go to at 2 a.m., we would go to the diner, and I would get a ham and cheese omelet with a full stack of pancakes, a side order of Scrapple, and I get a chocolate milkshake, okay?
I love the way you roll.
Every night, the whole Christmas break, okay? I went back to Princeton. I was 284.
Whoa.
I gained almost 30 pounds during Christmas break. And they were like,
"It's impossible.
What did you do?"
Scrapple.
And I was like, had an amazing time. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So what's funny about that is that's why they moved me to offense. Because I was 280 from going on a Yingling and late night diner binge. And they're like, listen, you're going to start either way, but, like, you could really, really do something on offense. Like, you're 285 now and you still move well. So that's how I moved to offensive line.
Wow.
And thank God, because I wouldn't have had a prayer in hell of making the NFL as a D lineman. So ended up being the best thing that ever happened to you. So that's a lesson for the kids out there. If you want to make the NFL, kegs of Yingling, milkshakes, pancakes,
Scrapple,
ham and cheese, Scrapple.
Breakfast of champions.
And that is the key. The late night dinner, breakfast, whatever that is, of champions. So anyway, it's pretty funny. But yeah, man. And then what's funny about the NFL, dude, diehard Eagles fan. Diehard. Like, we'll go to training camp three or four times a summer and get Randall Cunningham's autograph 10 times.
Oh, wow.
So Randall Cunningham would be like, again, bro? I'd be like, yes, again. Because I was like that. So it wasn't weird. It really wasn't weird, like, playing for the Redskins or, like, starting games for the Dallas Cowboys. That was actually cool, right? You see the helmet, like, I'm 23 years old. I'm starting for the Cowboys helmet on. But it was weird playing against the Eagles.
Sure.
Because it's like, picture being brainwashed since you're 4 years old to love a uniform, like to love this uniform, this green, the helmet, the whole deal. And the next thing I know, like, I'm out there trying to kill those guys. Like, it's just, wow. It is a little bit weird for sure to play against your childhood team.
Well, I have a question. With all that said, I don't know if you see the helmet behind me. Do you acknowledge that the Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl this year? That's what I want to know.
Oh, my God.
That's what I want to know. I haven't given up. I know last week was rough. I get it. What are your thoughts?
I think you got to walk before you can run. The Cowboys haven't even walked to the NFC Championship game in forever. No, in all sincerity, it's funny because I have a bunch of different shows. Even Money is the betting show where Fezzik actually references Crack like once a month on the Even Money
I love
betting
Steve.
Show. Yeah, he loves you. And I got the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. And I said this, I guess, Monday. You know, my favorite team I played for, actually, it surprised people, was the Buffalo Bills, right? I played the most there. I made the most money. You know, people up there love me, like the whole deal, right? But the Bills have now become the Cowboys of the AFC, right?
Yes.
And it's not even a knock. Like, They're both good teams. They win a lot of games. They make the playoffs. They have good quarterbacks. Josh Allen's unbelievable, I think, a lot of the times. But both of them, when it really comes down to it, they just don't get it done. And I'm not blaming anybody. Like, yeah. I'm not pointing fingers at McCarthy or McDermott or whatever, or Dak or Josh Allen. But it just seems like when they really have to do it, playoffs or even like a big regular season game against the Niners or the Eagles or the Bengals or the Chiefs, they just are—they're missing something, and they can't. Maybe it's my fault because I played for both of them. I don't know. The only two games, the only two teams I started regular season games for. I don't know.
Wow, you know,
that's spot on. Really,
I just looked at the Dallas Cowboys schedule this morning because they're 4-1 to win a division. I was like, wow, wait a minute—they're 4-1. They got a tough schedule, and the Eagles are 8-1.
Well,
right
Eagles
now.
Have a really tough schedule. And the schedule Eagles
have a
tough.
I was going to say the Eagles have a tough schedule. So Dallas and the Eagles both have really tough schedules. They're the second half of the season, and of course, you know, Giants and Washington are out of it.
So Dallas has the Giants this week, right?
You know what? I didn't. Really
they look, do.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But the,
and they're going against Tommy DeVito, Tommy Crack's DeVito. Cousin.
Yeah, DeVito. DeVito is, you know, there was a Tommy DeVito that was in the Four Seasons.
Yeah.
You know? So it's funny, when I seen it, I was wondering if he's related to Jersey.
Yeah,
I'm
sure.
I'm just wondering my old school thinking. But you mentioned Steve Fezzik. Let me just tell you something. I've never said this on air. John, you know, you're going to be surprised by this. There's only three people I know that are in the business that I'm in that, you know, we actually do sell games to, that are winners. Out of the thousands and thousands of people, as me, Steve, and a company named Rast. That's it. That's the only ones I know that sell and win. And I'll tell you what, Steve is on a heater. Steve and I both, seriously, I'm hitting 61% since August 1st. But Steve, since baseball season, is on an unbelievable heater. Last few years, great. And I think the world about him. I didn't even know he ever mentioned me on the show. Steve is a good bettor. That's why. He's a great bettor. Fantastic bettor. And that's the key.
You don't talk like this.
I don't
ever
talk like this. No, never. Never. You have to be a good...
I think, Crack, you might have been on once before, but in the offseason, I'll get you on again. We'd love to have you on it.
Sure. No. Steve's a great bettor. And that's the key, to have the balls to be able to bet $5,000 or $10,000 on a Monday morning. And thank God we have the bankrolls for that, because we have done this for so many years, decades and decades, and you have to bet percentage of bankroll, and you have to have the balls to put it out there. And you know, it's just, Steve's one of the only ones. Listen, they're all charlatans, snake oil salesmen, frauds, all over those social media platforms. Steve is one of the good ones.
Okay, so last question for me. Obviously, the Cowboy bet was a bet from the heart. A bet I did make with my head was Bengals to win the Super Bowl at 15-1. What are your thoughts on that?
Like it.
He likes it. All right.
Actually, you know what? Fezzik brought this up on the Even Money podcast. What was that? Yesterday. He talked about he likes Burrow as MVP, because nobody's really taken, you know, the MVP race.
Yep.
And now Burrow, that's a couple games in a row where he's looked really good, looks really healthy. And if he plays this way down the stretch, he could win the MVP. And I like it because I believe the Dolphins when I see it.
Right.
Now, I think the Jaguars are pretty legit, but again, they'd have to show it. And the Chiefs, their defense is playing really well, but something's off with
them.
The
parity is unbelievable. The parity in the league.
Yeah, I kind of like that. I kind of like the Bengals at that number right
now. And you
know,
Ross just said something good. So you see what he's saying there? In other words, you can go to the MVP market now and get them at like 22 or 23-1. Well, if they win the Super Bowl, usually the quarterback's the MVP, so that might be a better way of attacking it. Am I right, Russ? That's what Steve was probably saying.
Yeah, well, he's saying regular season MVP.
Oh, regular season
MVP.
Right.
Okay. I mean, if you think the Bengals have a great chance to win the Super Bowl,
sure.
Then you probably
when
think
that market
Burrow
comes up, I'm not even thinking
really well the rest of the season.
Yeah,
and maybe there's better odds for Burrow MVP than there are for Bengals winning the Super Bowl. That's what you got to look at.
Yep. Last thing. Yep. You're gonna laugh. We're gonna actually put this back in the show from before when we were talking about the food. So that late night food thing. See, we don't have that. You would think Vegas has it. We really don't have it.
We don't.
No. But back where he is, there's diners where he. You know, there was diners back there all throughout. I drive to Scranton every Christmas. I drive, you know, from Philly to Scranton to my buddy's house every year. and there's good late night food, good wholesome food, Pennsylvania Dutch food. He mentioned a food that he said he gained all this weight, Scrapple. Now, you probably don't know what that is.
No, I don't.
That's a Pennsylvania thing. I have the definition of Scrapple. It's also known by Pennsylvania Dutch name as Panhas. It's traditionally a mush of pork scraps and trimmings combined with cornmeal and wheat flour and spices. The mush is formed into a loaf and then fried. Pan fried. That's what Scrapple is.
All right.
And I haven't.
It's delicious. Tony, you probably don't even know what pierogies are, do you?
No, John.
I've heard pierogies. Of them. I don't know what they are, though.
Pierogies.
It's like a meat sandwich.
Well, I love pierogies. I'm Hungarian, so I
that
like
is unbelievable.
Polish.
Like, yeah. So, John, where we live, okay, pierogies are my wife's favorite food. And, like, pierogies for us are like the same thing as milk and cheese and eggs.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like,
wow.
It's like one of the five staples. I found out a couple years ago, I was trying to do a deal with Mrs. T's pierogies, and they're like, Ross, pierogies is just like Pennsylvania, Cleveland, Chicago, you know, heavy Eastern European. Yeah. I was like, what?
Oh, I love pierogies. We have one Polish.
Like Vegas, I've never heard.
Yeah,
never
we have a Polish restaurant here that has them. But
pierogies.
Like New York and stuff, you get great pierogies in the cultural restaurants. I love pierogies too. But Ross, it was great having you on. Thanks for taking like 15 minutes here. Appreciate it. And thanks again. And look forward to being on your show too. Great job.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely we'll do that, Crack. Great meeting you guys. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on. Really appreciate it. This is fun. I'll have to do it again.
And last thing, Ross, where can people hear you? Let's find out. Where can people hear you? What shows are you doing now?
Yeah, so this weekend I got Saturday I got Holy Cross at Army on CBS Sports Network TV.
Nice.
Monday night I'm in the booth.
Nice.
With Kevin Harlan for the Broncos at the Bills, Westwood One Radio National. And then obviously I got all the podcasts, which you can check out.
Yeah, tons of them.
You know, same place that you listen to this one, youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL if you're a video person. Otherwise, just look for Ross Tucker Podcast, Even Money Betting Podcast.
Awesome,
thanks
a lot,
man.
Ross. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Take care. Well, good. Another great show. Next week, I'm almost positive I'll be here for our taping of our show, but I'm not positive. If not, I'll have to do it on the
Where
road
are you headed?
Staten Island. I'm getting out of town.
For F1. I don't blame you.
Yeah,
I don't blame you. I'm not going near that strip.
Yeah.
No. All right. Well, hopefully we'll see you here next week. If not, we'll see you via Zoom, and we'll see all of you next week.